Hey, Christopher, how you doing?
Hey, I'm so excited to be back with you again, James.
Top 100 sitcoms? Oh, should we start all over?
Start with 100 again?
Okay. Let's start over. Just do a quick 30-minute recap.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. We're at 25, right?
We are at 25. There's something I want to say about this show. Last episode, I was noticing during the 80s and 70s, I was watching a lot of black sitcoms. And so we're going to be starting off with number 25, which is
Atlanta, which I've not seen.
I did see this, watched a few minutes of it, and it just didn't compare to my favorite other shows that I was watching at the same time. And the fact that these characters happened to be African-American didn't catch my eye either. Their relationship didn't seem outstandish to me.
So it was kind of a bland show for you, huh? So why are you talking about it?
I mean, it was funny. It's still on. So, you know, it's been going on for a long time. So it gets credit that way.
Newer Girl.
I don't know how it made it into the top 25, though.
Okay, fair point.
That makes no sense to me.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff here that's not very good, though. So less so as we continue. However, the very next one is another trigger for me.
Oh, you don't like this show.
Whew. That's putting it mildly.
Oh, my gosh. I really like this show.
I found it so tedious. And mostly predictable. And Chevy Chase was just impossible to watch. He was so bad.
I think his bad acting comes off as a style of acting. Whenever I watch him, I cringe. Always. Which makes him funny to me.
Christopher, I've seen him through the years. And let's start with Caddyshack.
Okay.
Caddyshack was amazing. Caddyshack was probably his pinnacle, his peak as an actor. And he was.
Oh, yeah. I look back at that
and I rewatched it and I was like, holy cow. Bill Murray's not very good in this movie, but Chevy Chase is amazing. And now the roles have completely reversed. And I watch him. Chevy Chase shows up every few years in different things. And he gets consistently more and more worse.
He doesn't focus
he gets
on
worse.
His talent.
I don't know what he's doing. He's just losing it. And Community is the lowest point I've ever seen him. I don't think it's an accident that it's bad acting.
Oh, well, I thought the characters were all quirky, and I kind of just like that.
I like the idea of the quirkiness, but I just didn't feel like they were pulled off. The only reason I was able to keep watching it was because the Indian guy, I had this written down, Danny Pudi, or Abed, who we also
hilarious.
See in Cat. Yeah, he's
hilarious
the only thing
kept, actor.
He's the only thing that kept me going through the show. All the other characters were, what was the girl's name? The dumb blonde. Whoever the dumb blonde is, it seemed like they were so inconsistent with her character. They never really knew what they were trying to do with her. Some shows were great, and some shows are like, what is she doing here again?
Another thing I liked about it, I think it's the first show that mocks college. I know that they're especially mocking community college as if it wasn't even college, but I think it's mocking all colleges because the same crap goes at all different levels.
Okay, fair point.
I
think it's very dangerous when you say, oh, I think this is the first show that does this, that, or the other thing, because we can generally find shows that earlier that do something different, who cover the same ground. I can't think of anything
off the
top of
my head.
Maybe,
you might be right about that. Let us talk about the only show that I have seen more reruns of.
Don't say The Office.
The Office.
The U.S. version. You've seen more reruns of
I have
the U.S.
watched
Office.
From the very beginning of this to the very end, multiple times. There is one season that is just so terribly bad. I skipped that one.
Mind blown.
My wife likes it. It makes me laugh over and over again. I love the actors. I love the storyline. I love this pseudo documentary style. It definitely belongs in the top 25.
Do you not remember the Heatstroke podcast where I dismembered this stupid show?
Yeah, I know. We disagree on this one. But obviously the Rolling Stone agrees with me.
I thought after I dismembered it, you came around to my way of thinking.
Well, I think the ending was there's a couple seasons toward the end, which it kind of falls off. So, for example, I'll go ahead because I have a good memory. Your point was you had said in the past that the character Pam is not consistent. She makes choices that would never be made in the beginning character, and I agreed with you on that one aspect.
I wouldn't say that she's necessarily inconsistent. It's just that she has what is setting up to be the best arc of a character in any sitcom, and it's a fantastic arc, and then they ruin it by pandering to the audience by making her marry Jim. I mean, that was just so dumb. That was only one of the points. My other main point was it's just hard for me to watch it on an episode-to-episode basis because Steve Carell, Michael, and Dwight are really interesting, funny characters, but they're completely surreal characters, whereas the whole rest of the cast is like, it's a sitcom in a very unusual way, it takes normal people looking normal kind of ways. They're not overamping anything. And it's kind of very dry humor. And then they have it, they try to sit it next to these two completely surreal characters. And there's just there's a fight between those two worlds. You can't have a surreal world and the real world without having a better
balance. I hear that, but if they didn't have the normal, the storyline wouldn't move forward. Because if everybody was wacky as Michael, there's no way that company would last.
Well, I disagree with that. And that comes up in a show that's better rated in the list. The UK office doesn't have this problem. Because even as stupid as the office manager is, he never feels like he's surreal. He never
feels
like
a cartoon
character.
And that was the discussion we had on our last episode, in that he made an awkwardness seem more real.
Yeah.
Let's talk about an actual place.
I just have one more point.
Oh, sorry.
I don't want to feel like I'm completely dumping on it. I may eventually rewatch this show. There are a lot of great elements to it, so I would keep it on the list. I just don't. I don't think it should be this high, and I can't. In any scenario, I can't imagine how this beats the UK office.
My wife used to work in a school in not Colorado, but California, called South Park.
Okay. I was wondering why you said not California. Well, there are 49 other states, so, but okay. But it makes sense in that.
This takes place in the UFO capital of the world,
really?
South Park.
Okay.
That's why they have the UFO at the beginning, and that's why there's the anal probe so many times.
Well, they
in
have
the
a
cartoon.
Couple of they have a couple of UFO episodes.
I
have Jesus
to tell
in there
you
too. They have a lot of Jesus episodes, and I don't think it's the Jesus capital of the world.
No, but there are religious people in the world that seem a little wacky, and I'm not trying to be disparaging, but I got to tell you, when I saw this list and I saw that it's still on. Oh, my God. I thought the show ended a few years ago.
That's
Trey
the funny
Parker.
Thing. I think it's a fantastic, amazing show, but I've probably seen only a fraction of it because I haven't seen it in years. When did this
it's
show
like
run?
Another cartoon we're going
to
talk about.
1997 to present. So I watched it probably for the first 3 years, and then, I moved.
Well,
and I
they did a thing like any sitcom does that's long-lasting. They've changed a few characters here and there.
Of
them literally died and stayed dead. And some haven't. Poor Kenny. And then they've introduced babies and children. So it's not like some cartoons where the kids are immortally the same at year to year.
Well, they are.
Someday
they are still
I wish they would make
grade,
a cartoon
though, right?
Where the kid. What's that?
They're still in fourth grade, though, right? After 20 years?
Yeah, I know. Someday I'd like them to make a cartoon where the kids age gradually over the next couple of years. It'd be so great to watch rather than a reboot 10 years later where they're teenagers.
Right,
like
not
they did
in the
with
middle,
Scooby-Doo, not Scooby-Doo, like they did with the Flintstones, I think, for a while. All right, let's talk a little British TV.
Which one are you jumping to?
Is it Fleabag?
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen Fleabag, so I can't comment on it.
All right, so I watched Fleabag. It's kind of a typical British show. I like British TV a lot, and Netflix has taken over as the great importer of British shows. Mm-hmm. It used to be PBS.
No, it's actually, I would disagree with that because they have some British shows on there. Netflix doesn't have the UK office, but Hulu does. And my parents, who watch almost exclusively BBC, don't use Netflix for it because there's just not enough content on it. I think they're using something called BritBox.
Oh, right. I've seen this. Okay. So anyways, so watch this. If you like British TV and you like a little bit of drama with some humor in it, I think this is a great show to watch. I'm not quite sure why it made it to 21. I think there are far better British shows than this one. We are getting into a lot of animation, James.
Well, some. BoJack Horseman is the next one at number 20. Makes it, here we are at the top 20. I enjoyed the show, but I thought it started taking itself too seriously near the end.
Well, you talked about The Office just a minute ago having this more likely arc, and if you haven't seen through, the ending is exactly what should happen to a has-been actor that's badly behaving, which is real. I mean, I lived in Hollywood a lot, and I'd come across these people from time to time, and some of them are nice and some of them weren't. And when you hear rumors about somebody not being nice, I think this is quite accurate in this cartoon, what actually ends up happening to these people.
I don't think I saw the ending of it, so I don't care.
Do you want to talk about number 19?
Just a little bit.
Yes. Considered politically incorrect now because of the main character.
Only because she got canceled. Roseanne comes in at number 19.
I like this show. I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't my favorite show. I don't know if it belongs at 19.
I would agree with that. I think it was culturally important for its time, and it was a very relaxed comedy. You know, everything else was very polished, like Three's Company, stuff like that, where, you know, the girls were beautiful and everything was made up and everything was, you know, perfect. This is looking directly into an American family's home.
The only thing I liked about this show is it really got us into a comical situation where we see real people and their sufferings and how different families can deal with it. Once in a while, some of these episodes were quite serious. Anyways.
Number 18 is not quite that. Kind of the opposite. 30 Rock from 2006 to 2013.
This needs to be higher up. Not much higher, but a little higher. I thought 30 Rock was genius.
I did too.
Great comedy, great writers, great actors, great background setting. What was not great about this show?
Oh, the only thing that bothered me about the show was this idea that they keep trying to portray Tina Fey as not pretty. That's a trope that goes on through the show. And
that
every
bugged
time
me too.
It just, yeah, you know, it's like, oh, stop it. This is ridiculous. If she's not pretty, who the hell is?
Right. Well, and the thing is, they kind of really blew it when they, do you remember the episode they did with the jeans?
No.
It's a whole episode where you get to see her rear end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you'd like this episode,
James. I think
James.
I would.
That right there says, okay, they just blew it. Obviously, she's just as good looking as everybody else there.
Oh, no, she's. I think she's one of the most beautiful women on TV. Even at whatever advanced age she is, she's probably in her late 40s now, which
I actually just saw her on a YouTube thing recently. Oh, we could talk about that another episode.
Okay.
She's doing a lot of stand-ins. Okay, this is probably one of my favorite shows of all time.
Okay.
Number 17.
That makes sense. Taxi.
Every actor is amazing. There are no bad actors in this show, in my opinion.
That's true.
Some of them I get are only character actors, but they're all great actors. And we're talking about...
Taxi. I said it already.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Christopher Floyd. I mean, even some of the actors that didn't go on to a huge acting career, they went on to Broadway and are still doing Broadway, all of them, because they are fantastic actors.
And here we have Danny DeVito, who shows up for the second time on the list.
Good for him, right?
I think he's perfect in this role. He nails the crap out of this. This almost feels a little bit like The Office, too. I mean, it's an office for taxi people.
Yeah, I suppose it is. And the thing is some of the actors kind of, you don't hear too much anymore, and it's only because they've been replaced by younger actors. If you live in New York, these actors are alive and well and thriving.
So the difference between this and The Office is that in The Office, Michael doesn't know he's an asshole. In
oh,
this,
right, right.
Danny knows he's an asshole.
Let's talk about the Bill Cosby show.
Let's talk about the Cosby show.
I'm glad Rolling Stones didn't get political. They really could have. There's a few shows on here they could have taken off because the characters in the the actors in the shows
turned out to be serial
rapists.
Stuff
that is considered inappropriate.
Yeah.
At any level.
Serial rapism, I think, is pretty bad. So, yeah, they didn't take it out. They didn't hold the show accountable to its talent.
And I'm sad about the show because I don't believe they show it anymore because of that. This was a great show, great writing. The actors were great. This kind of reminds me of the opposite of Roxanne, right? Roxanne was this white family, a little bit in the poverty section. And this is the opposite. This is a black family doing pretty well. And what issues they have to deal with. And it was funny the whole time.
Yeah,
it was
really
either funny or hilarious.
It always seemed like a good show, but not a great show in my mind.
I think it's in a good spot. It may be a little lower, but I think it's 16 is fair. Now, number 15 is bizarre to me.
Really?
And we're talking
in
about...
what way? Arrested Development from 2003 to 2006.
Because this show, first of all, was intermittent... which is not typical of most sitcoms, with
right?
Exception maybe
Family Guy. Had a weird schedule.
And but the thing is, these actors are so busy working, at least a majority of them. That's the only way they could do the show. It was a show of love. This show right here, I almost feel like it could be a little bit higher. I love the show. Did you love the show?
I did love the show, and I don't think it should be any higher because I watched it again, a few episodes again a few months ago, and I was thinking it's not aging as well as I would like it to.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which surprised me. I didn't think this would be a show that aged, but it seemed like it was. And plus, the other reason for not being in the top 10 is, you know, the last couple of seasons, they were trying to work around everyone's schedule, and it just didn't gel well. I think they lost their magic.
Are you thinking this show's worn on you because Henry Winkler comes in once in a while?
Look, I love Henry Winkler. I just hate that you keep comparing me to him.
I'm sorry. I wasn't going to say it, but you brought it up. So for those of you who've never seen a picture of James, once in a while he grows his hair out and he looks to me from a distance a little bit like Henry Winkler.
You need a new prescription,
younger age,
sir.
Younger age. My favorite show of all time is number 14.
Andy Griffith Show from 1960 to 1960.
Yes.
This predates you.
Barely, unfortunately.
Okay, well, still.
The reason I love the show is, well, I love the show so much. For years, I would watch the show with my kids. And I remember one time telling somebody that I did this because I try to watch between half an hour and an hour of television every night, something. I did this for years with the kids. We'd watch one episode. And I was telling somebody about the show, and they said, why do you have them watching such an old show? It's so outdated. And I go, it's about a guy who is single, not married, dating multiple women while having a son. What is not more modern than that? The fact that he is from a small town, is that what you don't like? Because the rest, and he's a nice guy,
and
or is the fact he's a nice guy and a cop? I don't know which one that you don't like.
Who doesn't carry a gun.
Who doesn't carry a gun. What I loved about the show is, of course, the acting was great. You have Don Knotts, and which is so funny. You're talking about people that are in there twice. Look who we have here. Opie, who, as we all know, is Ron Howard, who is actually...
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Ron
Howard.
In
the very next episode, he's not a major character, but he is the voice and the producer.
He shows up, and he is in the some of the episodes as well, on camera.
Yeah, there's a whole episode of the show practically his family. It's pretty funny. Do you have any comments about the Andy Griffith Show?
It's very old. Don Knotts, I think, needs to be rebooted. I think people need to start watching him again. I think he's underappreciated in our day. And
Great movies.
I would say, generally speaking, it's just an unusually easy show to watch.
Feel good normally after watching it.
Just easy to watch.
If you ever watch the color ones, they're not quite as good. Andy seems a little grumpy most of the time, but
I don't think I ever saw those.
Yeah, toward the last couple seasons, I think even the reason they got canceled, his character changed. I think he was getting bored with the show, and he decided to act like he was bored with life a little bit.
Wow.
Number 13, Frasier. My wife and I,
2004.
When it's late at night and we're both not tired, we will watch old episodes of Frasier. Love this show.
I thought it was a good show. I thought maybe it was a little bit overrated. I mean, I don't think it belongs
in 13. I love this show. I think it belongs a little closer in the 20s.
Okay. I think one of the strengths of this show that I remember, I haven't seen it in a long time, but I remember it being very consistently good. It seems like it's got momentum.
Well, they had these subtle plots going on for years, and they didn't get boring because they were so woven into each other.
You know, I do get a little, I find the will they, won't they trope gets a little tedious after a while.
Yeah. You're talking about with the brother part of it all.
Right.
The thing is with Frasier is it's like the Andy Griffith Show. It's easy to watch. You get a couple good laughs at it. For the amount of time that you spend watching it, you get enough laughs.
So speaking of easy to watch, the next one is probably the easiest to watch of all time, right?
No. I think this was a good spot for it. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
I think
that's probably pretty fair.
And once again, this is a show that I did not know was on anymore.
Well, thanks to HBO, because I don't have HBO, so I don't see anything from HBO anymore. But I remember seeing the first two or three seasons. I don't know, maybe it was on DVD or where. I don't know, remember how I saw it.
Well, but. I used to buy. Well, I own the first two seasons because I just loved watching it so much. I love a show when I buy the box, or at least when I used to buy boxes.
I know. I am a little bit concerned now how many boxes you may own in your house. That is a brilliant show, and that is just so awkward. Awkward humor at its pinnacle. And then we're almost the top 10, but not quite there yet.
I know. I wish we could change this 11 to 10 because he belongs in the top 10, in my opinion. And believe it or not, Dick Van Dyke is still alive and well. Actually got remarried about 12 years ago. Great banjo player, great film career. Love this show.
Only you would care that he plays the banjo. 61 to 66, I guess it was just before my time. I just don't really have anything to say about it. I remember I was more into I Dream of Jeannie than I was into the Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah,
show.
I know, but the gags in there are good. And see, I grew up on I was one of those kids where woke up in the morning, watched TV, went to school, came home, pretended to work for a half hour, but and then was watching TV. And then I was sent to bed. I would sneak up and over the corner watch television shows standing up over the heads of my parents with them not knowing me. I was watching the show. I loved television as a kid. And so I watched the Dick Van Dyke Show. And to this day, once in a while, when I'm in a party, I'll crack a joke and it's a straight ripoff from good old Dick.
All right. Going from the Dick Van Dyke Show, it's a little bit of a shift to number 10. We're now in the top 10. The Larry Sanders Show.
Doesn't belong here, in my opinion. Nowhere in the top 10.
It might be a little high, but I do think this is kind of a brilliant show.
It was a very good show. I just don't see it as a top 10. The humor, once again, it looks at the background of the entertainment business. When this show came out, I remember watching thinking, this is hilarious. But I've seen it all before.
Oh, really? No,
Dick Van Dyke is a perfect example. He did the background of the show. I would be happy if they just swapped the two out.
I can't imagine that the two are very similar. Because subtlety in this show is... Really, I mean, you have to really pay attention and you have to watch it consistently to start to see the not the tropes, but the what's going on and the relationships between Larry Sanders and his, you know, his guests and whatnot. I mean, that's these moments. And I think that's the genius of it. He creates and captures this awkwardness, but also disdain, levels of disdain. I think the show could all be about the levels of disdain that people have for each other.
And still work together.
Yeah. Or they
well,
have
like
to.
Like I said,
that's the whole thing.
There's a few similar lines between the Dick Van Show and this show.
I'll take your word for that.
All right. Parks and Recreation. This is relatively new in the world of TV and the world of sitcoms, but I think it's in a good spot. I think it's right where it belongs.
You
number
think
nine.
This is new?
Well, it's not 1960, and there weren't too many shows from the 50s in there. So, I mean, we're talking 70 years span now, right?
Okay, but it's
years.
Yeah, it's 2009. It starts in 2009.
That's true. People are still watching it, though.
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite shows of all time. I know it's kind of weird to say that, and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, two of my favorite comedies of all time, because they are complete opposites. One just wants to grind you down into the dirt and shows you how horrible human beings are. That would be Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And Parks and Rec, which is the sunniest show that's been on the TV for the past 20 years, I think.
Yeah, they might share some writer relationships between those two shows.
Oh, yeah, but they're completely different.
Okay.
Don't you think?
I do. And I did bring up the 50s, didn't I? Number 8, The Honeymooners. Yeah. Did you ever watch The Honeymooners?
I saw a couple of episodes here and there, but I never watched it religiously.
Well, it wasn't on for very long. As you can see, it was only 2 years. But those episodes were so golden and so culturally important to at least television entertainment that people have been stealing from The Honeymooners and those 2 years to this day. Starting with The Flintstones to The Simpsons to anytime we see a relationship, you'll see something stolen or not even knowing they stole it because it's been stolen from somebody who stole somebody.
Is it stealing or is it just regurgitating the same tropes that we have in our society? I mean, nothing's really new.
True enough. The thing is, the show, it has Jackie Gleason in it, and Jackie Gleason is just brilliant.
Yeah, wasn't
I think
he in
this
the Flintstones
belongs
too?
Definitely in the top 8 because of its importance.
Okay, I'll give you that one. I don't have much of an opinion. I remember it being kind of impactful, but I just don't have that much to say about it. I don't have that much to say about a lot of the top 10, actually, surprisingly
well,
enough.
Well, what about 1970s Mary Tyler Moore show, another 70s show that you say... Oh, it's all blasé for you?
No. I'm saying I remember it, but only vaguely. I don't remember it very clearly because, you know, it's not one of the shows that I really got into. Like Gilligan's Island, which is oddly absent from this list, it's much more prominent in my mind. I actually actively got up and tried to make sure I could see Gilligan's Island because it was, you know, it was a stupid show for kids. Stupid.
And where was it rated?
It's not on the top. Well, yes, we have another section to talk about shows that didn't show up.
Right.
It's not on the top 100, which seems... Anyway. Yeah, I mean, the Mary Tyler Moore show, I remember for, again... It had tone, but it just didn't interest me at the time. It interest me very much now that I'm an adult. It may be interesting me more, but just timing-wise, I just wasn't into it.
For those of you that like the movie Elf, you can see Santa Claus when he was quite a bit younger. And my favorite part of this show is, once again, Betty White pops in from time to time. Yeah, so you got to love. I love Betty White. So any show, even if she's not a regular, you got to watch it. Okay. All right, so should we move on to number 6?
Yeah, what do you think about number 6, MASH?
Okay.
1972 to 1983.
I cannot say enough things about MASH. MASH could easily be one or two for me. I think it touched subject matters that we're afraid to talk about, which is death. And they did it in
it covered so much more than that.
It did. But the world that they were covering was in that world. And the thing is about this show is, once again, the acting was great. Even the character actors, which were really good. Some of the character actors in the original first season ended up being regulars because they were so good of an actor. Or at least they played their part really good. Right. And of course, we have Alan Alda in this and in his wonderful career. And I think a spinoff from a movie, unbelievable. 11 seasons of gold. And another thing about the show that was so beautiful is it changes. They went from a comedy, kind of a little more slaps. And every year, especially when Alda Nova took over as part of the directing and part of the producing of it, got a little more serious and a little more documentary style. I can't say enough good things about the show.
I remember it as a kid, and it was kind of an adult show, even the slapstick stuff, and just always being sucked into it. I was hooked, even as a kid that didn't probably understand half the stuff he was seeing. The only disturbing thing about it, there is one very disturbing element about it, and that is, when I was a kid watching this, I looked at it and I immediately said, oh, this is a show about old people.
Really?
And now I just watched another episode recently, and I saw Alan Alda, and I'm thinking, wow, he looks really young. So I don't know what's happening.
This is a great
thing
about television. I love reruns because it really gives you a chance to revisit a show
and make you feel old
and have a different perspective, which is a reason why MASH is so good. So a few years ago, my nephew moved in with me, and we watched this show once or twice a week. And he was a young 20-year-old, and I basically was exposing him to the show. And we really liked watching it. At some point, if you get a chance, our listeners out there, we talk about MASH before.
Yeah, we talked about Heatstroke.
And we talk. Oh, that's right. It's on Heatstroke. And we talked about the music in that. We won't do that now. But if you want to hear about our opinions on the music, go ahead and have a listen on that episode.
Answers one of my questions. I do wonder if it holds up because I haven't seen it in so long. I only saw one episode recently, and that one episode seemed to hold up pretty well. But then I can't really be sure if I'm being impartial because I'm so nostalgic about the show. And even though it is technically a spinoff from a movie, it doesn't really feel like the movie most of the time. I mean, there are moments of it, but it has a totally different vibe. It's really much more TV comedy than the movie. Not that's bad. I don't think they could have made a TV show that was the equivalent of the movie, or at least not one that would last that very long.
Hey, James, we are running out of time. Can we just finish this next part up next week? I know we were going to try to do this in two episodes, but I think it's going to have to be three.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, James. Bye.
Bye.
Pop Sub Podcast has been brought to you by Marcus in Motion. For more information, go to popsubpodcast.com. To contact Pop Sub Podcast, go to info@popsubpodcast. Thank you.
Life getting you down? Is your head always drooping towards the floor? And then seeing your horrible floor just makes you feel that much worse? What to do? Don't change you. That's too much work. Change your floor instead. GoRageous Flooring is happy, sunny, exciting, rejuvenating flooring. They make flooring fun again. Woohoo! GoRageous Flooring. For when you just can't bear to look at your old, horrible floor anymore. You'll be so happy, you won't ever look at your floor again. Whoopee. That's GoRageousFlooring.com. GoRageousFlooring, GoRageousFlooring.com.